So this morning, I want to focus on worship His Majesty and what I have for a title, A Journey into Worship. This is going to be a journey. It's going to be a series. I'm going to teach and preach all through this month. And don't forget, the last Sunday of this month, we won't just have a morning service. We'll also have an evening service, an evening of worship. And it's going to be an evening of hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. A Journey into Worship. I'd like you to go with me to John chapter 4 and then verses 23 to 24. John, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Jesus is a very popular scripture, was speaking to a woman by the well. And she was a Samaritan. And usually the Jews would not interact with the Samaritans. They had nothing in common. The Samaritans were known to be impure. They were known as an impure breed. So if you call a Jewish person a Samaritan, it's a disrespect. It's a dishonor because they believe that it was some Jewish people that married people that they were not supposed to marry, people that had no covenant with God that produced the Samaritans. But Jesus interacted with this woman by the well, and he opened her up to another dimension of life. As a matter of fact, this woman turned out to be an evangelist. She ended up going to town to go and invite people to come and see Jesus. Because she had met a prophet who told her everything that she had done in her life, including the number of husbands she had had and how that she was living with the one now to whom she wasn't married. So these things didn't start today. John 4, 23. Okay, let me take it from 22, please. Jesus speaking. Ye worship, ye know not what. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Somebody say, but the hour cometh and now is. Somebody say, now is. Is it tomorrow? Is it tomorrow? Is it going to be next year? When is it going to be? It's now. And now is. Most of the things of God are now. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith. Faith is now. And Jesus said, now is. When the true worshipers. Notice he said true. Worshippers. So if there are true worshippers, then there are fake or false worshippers. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father, how are they going to worship the Father? In spirit, number one, and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must, as a matter of necessity, worship Him in spirit and in truth. These words were repeated twice. And when you find something repeated twice like that in the Bible, number one, it is repetition for emphasis. Number two, it's a mark that there is a covenant around it. Because the number two in the Bible is the number of God's covenant. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. That's the covenant of marriage. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3. He said, verily, verily. He didn't just say it for effect. He said it to let you know there is a covenant behind it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He might be a philanthropist. He might be the nicest man in the world. If he's not born again, he's not going to make heaven. Heaven is not full of philanthropists. Heaven is not full of nice people. Heaven is full of saved people. Can I have an amen? In John 12, 24, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls down to the earth and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. That is to let you know that it's a matter that is established. Joseph said to Pharaoh in Genesis, he said, therefore, the dream was doubled twice unto Pharaoh because the thing has been established by God and he will shortly bring it to pass. When something is established by God, it's repeated twice. Once has he spoken, twice have I heard the power belongs to God. When he called Moses, he said to him, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground on which you are standing is holy ground. Abraham, Abraham, stay thy hand. Don't kill that boy. I've got a ram in the thicket. You'll see it run through the scriptures from the beginning to the end. If anything is said twice, it is because there's a covenant somewhere behind it. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? So when Jesus said the Lord is seeking, that the Father is seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth, what does that mean? And he said it twice. Then this should arouse some curiosity in us. We should begin to ask questions and say, Lord, what exactly does the Bible mean by the people that worship in spirit and in truth? Is it just speaking in tongues? Yeah, that's part of it, but that's not the totality of it. I want you to understand that the word spirit and the word heart are used interchangeably in the Bible. When the Bible says that the heart of a man is not right, it's talking about the spirit of that man. It's talking about the innermost being of that person. That's why when anybody becomes born again, the first place God goes to is the heart of that person. That is the spirit of that person. Are you with me, church? So when the Bible is talking about us worshiping God in spirit and in truth, it's talking about a worship that is coming from the heart. And it's really not talking about music. Music is one of the expressions of our worship. Worship is the life that you have been called to live as a believer. The totality of your life is your worship. Every moment of your day, not 25 minutes of Sunday service. Oh, now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time we want to worship the Lord. What have we been doing? What were we doing Monday to Saturday? If we were not worshiping the Lord, then we were living in the flesh. And we were not glorifying God. Worship glorifies God. The only lifestyle that God has called the believer into is the life of worship. I know some of you might not fully understand that now, but as we proceed, you will begin to understand it. Paul said something in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, and I'd like you to go there. Romans 12, 1, KJV, and then we'll go to Amplified Classic for better understanding. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul was begging here. That must be a very important subject for him to be begging his readers. He said, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. I understand your spirit is born again, but I want you to go ahead and present your body. This one that we see. We don't see your spirit, but we see your body. All right? But we do know that your spirit is going to be exactly like this. When we get to see one another in heaven, we'll be able to recognize one another. So your spirit is exactly like my spirit is exactly like this. But he's saying, present your bodies. Make a conscious effort to bring it to God. Present it. Like you present a gift. Present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God. Which is your reasonable service. For further explanation, Amplified Classic. Romans 12, 1. Thank you. I appeal to you therefore, brethren. And beg you. Somebody say, Paul is begging us. Oh no, that's too low. Say, Paul the aged is begging us. He said, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you. I beg you. In view of all the mercies of God, without any other mercy left, all of it. This must be an all-important subject for Paul to be saying, all the mercies of God. Paul was not a man known to waste words. So this must be very important. I beg you because it's not going to be easy. I beg you because you're going to have challenges. I beg you because there'll be conflict when you try to do what I'm asking you to do. In view of all the mercies of God, what do you want us to do, Paul the Apostle, by the Holy Ghost? To make a decisive dedication of your bodies. You're going to decide to dedicate it. It won't happen just because you are born again. It will not automatically happen. You will not automatically get into that space. This one, you have to make a decision to do it. You have to make a decision to surrender your will to the will of God. Because your will clash with the will of God many times. If not every day. Every day we have decisions to make. Your soul is made up of three compartments. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. You see that your will is about the strongest part of your soul. Because if any man wills to do anything, if a person wills to do something, it takes maybe God to change that will. That's why they say some people are stubborn. No matter the advice you give them, it is what they will to do that they will do. The English word will also picks up from that. What they will to do is what they will do. I will. Paul said, make a decisive dedication of your bodies. This is coming from your will, and it's coming from your soul. And you have to do it. Presenting all your members and faculties. This is talking to ladies and talking to guys. All! From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You know, some people are born again, they say, from their head to somewhere around their waist. Some guys, they say some men are born again like that, but from their waist down, that part is not yet saved. Paul said all of your body, all of your faculties, all of your members, your face, your hidden parts, your obvious parts, everything in dedication, in total surrender to God. Why? He said, do it as a living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, it should be dead, but you are alive. Glory to God. But live like a sacrifice. Live like you are not your own. Live like you have been bought. Live like you have been purchased by the blood of Christ. All right? As a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Somebody say spiritual worship. To worship God in spirit and in truth, therefore, is to surrender your all to God. On Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, like you do on Sunday morning. Everybody is usually holy on Sunday morning. Your emotions. They are so deep in worship. God is looking beyond that. God is looking beyond the music because the music is going to fade. The music is the tool to worship. Your lifestyle is the real worship. So are you a worshiper? When they talk about Shango worshipers or Ifa worshipers, are they referring to them just because of their music? Come on, talk to me, church. They refer to them as Shango or Ifa worshippers because that's what they do. And that's who they are on Monday, on Tuesday. In fact, some of them wear, they have their own garment they wear. Like if you see those Oshun worshippers, they're always in white. White garment, white beads, white everything. And they have some small gong in their hand. That's what they do. That's who they are. And they're not ashamed of who they are. Who are you, Christian? Who are you, child of God? Are you a true worshiper? Or you are just fellowshipping with us? Are you a true worshiper? And the Father knows those who worship him. Because he's seeking for such, even in the expression house. The Father is seeking for such in every church. He's seeking for such in the world today. He's seeking people who worship him, first of all, from their heart. Because your heart is the source of life. Everything that you do springs from your heart. That's why the book of Proverbs says to, I think, the 420 now? It's Proverbs 4 anyways. To guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The issues of life is Proverbs 4. They flow from your heart. So everything springs from your heart. Your heart is the source. If worship is not springing from there, you can't fake it for a long time. That's why you see some people live right in church. But the moment they step out of church, they're a completely different person. You can hardly recognize them. You are not a worshiper yet. You're a congregant. I understand that. But not a worshiper. Worship takes you to the presence of God. Worship drives his presence also into your consciousness. You tell yourself, I'm different. I'm a child of the Most High God. I can't do what those girls are doing on campus. I can't do it because I'm a child of God. Because I don't have identity crisis. I know who I am. This is why you're not joining us to do it. Why are you not partying hard with us? All night Friday, people leave school and they travel to go party. You see, I don't even see myself in that space. You know why? Because I'm a child of God. They said, no, are you calling us children of the devil? No, I never said that. But somehow, I have come to an awareness of who I am in him. And I know my identity in Christ. You are beginning to understand who a worshiper is. Everybody is time for exams and they are cheating. I say, I can't cheat. I'm going to read. I'm going to do my best. And I trust the Holy Ghost to help me to bring to my remembrance all that I've labored hard to learn. I'm not going to write stuff on my labs because the male lecturers are not permitted to lift my skirt and check what's on my labs. People keep things in their bra. See, I can't do that. You can't even think of it. You can't even possibly think of it because I'm a worshiper. Oh, everybody's making money here in this business, in this organization. This is how we make money. We change the digits, all right? We have a new set of receipts, a different set of receipts from the original one, which belongs to the company. So when we have 10 customers a day, 8 customers come to us, 2 will go into the company's account. People do that, and they build houses, and they buy cars, and they go to church. Some of them are elders, pastors, and they give testimony. Glory be to God. Isn't our God good? He just blessed us with another car. People got money from a particular church. I wouldn't mention. They bought land on the estate where I live now. They collected 50 million as far back as I don't know how many years ago. That 50 million was meant to buy a land in a choice area and build it like a cathedral. It was enough back in the day. They bought the money. They got the money. They shared it. They bought 2.5 plot of land and built a shed. A shed on it. A shed like where you keep poultry. Poultry shed. I've been to the church before. I went there because the last pastor there was someone I knew. So he invited me to come. Just come and look. I said, on this kind of estate where you have beautiful houses, they went to their original, their headquarters and sold the vision to the man of God that they wanted to build a befitting church on a very lovely estate so that the people on the estate don't have to drive very far to go to church. They'll just come into our church. And they built a shed. A shed. No door, no windows. A shed. I mean a complete shed. So every pastor that came to that church begged to be transferred because nobody came. Nobody would come into a shed. He told me, he said, and these men, about 3 of them, shared the money and they're still in the church, but in different places. They have children. I said, they don't know God. You can be a pastor and not know God. You can be anything. Titles don't... Church, get to a point where you're not filled by titles. Anybody can be a bishop. Oh, bishop, only be office. And I'm not deriding the office of a bishop. I'm telling you that there are people that carry titles, but they are more wicked than the devil. You cannot be a true worshiper and do certain things. Collect money in the name of the Lord to do a project for the Lord and divert it to your private purses. And they'll buy Toyota Camry and say, praise the Lord, and wear new suits. And when is their church convention? I don't want to give you too much description so you will know the church. When is their church convention, they will also go and carry big Bible, very fat Bibles. And the man of God is there ministering. And they think they have escaped. No, in Zechariah, and I think it's chapter 5, somewhere in Zechariah, He said, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. It will come in and consume everything from the stones to the wood. The curse of the Lord. You see, some children experience some turmoil in life. Some of them go crazy in exam hall. Not because they read overnight, but something is happening that is streaming down from their parents. It is the reason, in some cases, not in every case, some people's lives are just stagnated. They are just on the spot. And until they cry out to God for mercy, they are not moving forward. That's why there are repeated cycles of frustration in families. The fathers have eaten the sour grapes, and now the children's teeth are set on edge. That's why I appeal to everybody I meet, please give your life to Christ, because we don't know what is coming down from your family, from your generation, from your lineage, so that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are become new. Can I have an amen? Amen. And even at that, you still have to enforce your victory in Christ. They are preachers, quite all right, but they are not true worshipers, because we have assumed that true worship means we sing songs and we cry. Songs help us, but they are not an end in itself. There is no song you want to sing that God hasn't heard. Who is the source? If it comes from Him, it's from Him. The angels, that's what they do 24/7. Nobody will come up with a special song now and then, and then God will say, oh, wow, I never heard that before. Come on, bring it on, bring it on. Angels, let's dance. No, He's the source. Psalm 36 and verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life, the very source of life. And in your light shall we see light. It's in His light we see light. If He turns off the light, we are going to see darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying? So as a song minister, if you see light, it's in His light you see light. And that's why there should be no room for pride. Praise God, amen. Are you with me, church? A true worshiper is one that honors God. So let me begin to now teach about true worship. A true worshiper is one that honors God and shows respect for the things of God. Somebody say honor. Say respect. You honor God. Honor is an issue of the heart. Honor. You can try to fake it, but God can see whether it is there or not. Let me ask you, church. I want you to ask yourself, do I honor God every day? Do I honor God? We say that we honor Him. The Lord said in Isaiah, He said, these people honor me with their lips. He said, but their hearts are far from me. So with God, honor is an issue of the heart, not an issue of the mouth. We can easily sing, Lord, we honor you. Lord, I honor you. You can even cry a little bit. Oh, God, I really, 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 really honor you. Oh, no. I honor you. God is not moved by those emotions. God is looking into your heart. Honor is an issue of the heart. You can write it down if you are writing. Somebody say, honor is an issue of the heart. The Bible talked about a particular man called Ezra. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. The Bible says that Ezra prepared his heart. For Ezra had prepared, what did he prepare? Come on, talk to me, church. Come on, talk to me, church. For Ezra had prepared his heart. What for? To seek the law of the Lord. That's honor. When you prepare your heart that, God, I even want to understand the Bible. God, in this period of fasting and prayer, I want to know you more. Beyond what PFE is teaching me, I thank God for His life, but I want to know you more. I want to know you one-on-one. Honor. Not many people care about God. Not many people care about God. Not many. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law first of all, the law of the Lord, and to do it. And not everyone that teaches it does it. There are many do as I say, don't do as I do preachers today. Just follow what I say. Don't follow what I do. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not saying that you should also absorb the errors of your teachers or fathers or whatever. If it does happen that you are able to see a flaw, you don't follow the flaw. And I've said that also here. If I teach you anything that is not biblical, thrash it. But my commitment to God is to teach you his word, to teach you what is biblical, to stand in his presence, in the place of prayer, in the place of fasting, to get you something from God that will bless your life. That's my life commitment. Amen? So Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. First of all, to seek the law of the Lord. Second of all, to do it, and then to begin to teach it. What we have in Nigeria, we have a whole lot of people that are preachers who are not practicing what they're preaching. They haven't even done it before. The principles many of them are teaching you, they have not practiced it. People are teaching faith, they have never used their faith. Your father built a house for you, bought you your car, the car you're driving. Everything is provided for. That's a good one, isn't it? But have you ever used your own faith for anything? And then you want to teach us faith based on what your father did for you? No, you can't. Have you used your faith to combat a headache before? Before you go and face a situation of cancer? And you can teach all the principles. Let me tell you, Satan doesn't respect principles if you're not a practitioner. You have to be a practitioner. It must be coming from your heart. Worship is an issue of the heart. The Holy Ghost zoomed in on Ezra because he saw his commitment, his heart commitment to the things of God. That's why this thing that was written for our learning. So that we, through the comfort of the scriptures, might also comfort others. Ezra prepared his heart. Go to Jeremiah 30 and verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Quickly, quickly, please. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near. Why will I do that? And he shall approach unto me. Why will I do that? For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? For who is this that engaged his brain? Come and talk to me, church. Who is this that engaged his common sense? Who is this that engages what? Come on, talk to me, church. So if your heart is not engaged in worship, it's a waste of time. It's about the heart. You shall seek the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The Lord your God with all your heart. For God is always the heart. My son, give your heart unto me. It's always about the heart. Man is looking at the countenance. God is looking at the heart. When Samuel was going to make a mistake of anointing the eldest son of Jesse as the next king of Israel, God said, hey, come on. I've rejected that guy. For you are looking at the countenance, but I'm looking on the heart. Looking on the heart. Looking on the heart. Give to me 1 Samuel 2:9 very quickly. I'm laying the foundation today, and I want you to follow very keenly. Very keenly. It will keep the feet of the saint, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Give me the previous verse. Yeah, this is a very popular one. Give me the previous verse. Oh. This was the prayer. This was the prayer of Anna. This wasn't where I'm going. Anyway, forget about it. Let's move on quickly. I just wanted to show you something, but I've quoted it already. Man is looking at the countenance. God is looking at the heart. All right. I want you to notice that we live in a very irreverent world. Irreverent. If your writing is I-R-R-E-V-E-R-E-N-T. I-R-R-E-V-E-R-E-N-T, irreverent. Another word for irreverent is disrespectful. Another word for disrespectful is impudent. I-M-P-U-D-E-N-T, impudent. Another word for impudent is insolent. Insolent, I-N-S-O-L-E-N-T. Another word for insolent is rude. R-U-D-E. And another word for that on the street is saucy. We live in a very saucy world. We live in a very irreverent world. We live in a very rude world. In fact, I think somebody on Twitter calls himself Rude Boy. I've seen something like that before. And they think it's a thing to rejoice in. And maybe some people take it as part of their identity. They say, I'm a rude boy. A rude boy. I can be rude now. Listen, Satan is an embodiment of rudeness. Every irreverence and insolence is not traceable to the Holy Spirit, it's traceable to Satan. Do you notice that in this generation, the Gen Z, you guys have no respect? And I'm not really referring to the members of my church because I know most of you have respect. But there are a few people. The Gen Zs have no respect whatsoever for God, for the things of God, and for the people of God. A 21-year-old boy will get on social media today because he did Yahoo to buy iPhone Pro Max 15, whatever, or 15 Pro Max you call it, and he has access to data. And then he can drag Pastor Iye Adeboye, who preached the message, they'll get a clip out of the message, and they start talking nonsense, chasing clout, and so many people start making their comments. And everybody has a comment. Everybody in this generation has an opinion. Let me tell you something. There is a time to keep quiet. There is a time to not have an opinion. The Bible, many years ago, over 2,000 years ago, already wrote this in the book of Proverbs. I think it's 30 and verse 11. Give that to me. 30, 11 to 13. He says, there is a generation that curseth their father, and they do not bless their mother. This is that generation. And nobody is addressing this. The pastors are shying away from this because they don't want to be dragged on social media. The pastors that really have the kind of followership that will make a statement and then people can drag them. No, they shy away from it. They don't want to talk about it. The Bible says this. See, we are doing this generation a disservice if we don't teach them properly. Respect is gone in some families 2 generations ago. Don't blame the children that they don't have respect because their parents don't have respect. Don't blame their parents because their parents didn't teach them. So how would they know? And that's why the church, Paul the apostle said to Timothy, that the church of God is the ground and the pillar of the truth. We must never sugarcoat the truth. We must never compromise the truth if we really love the people. It says there is a generation that cursed their father. One OAP opened his mouth and described Bishop Oyedepo as a bald man. He called him a bald-headed fowl. Now, I'm not a member of Winners Chapel, but I don't have to be a member to honor a servant of God. And he had a lot of people talking. And usually they would attack tithing and attack, prosperity and attack the church and attack that pastors have this, they have that. In the days when the man was riding his scooter to go minister and the helmet of his associate, the vice president of the ministry, Bishop Abioye, flew off because of the speed. You don't know scooter? Vespa, Okada. And the helmet flew off and the man tapped him. He said, what's that? He said, my helmet has flown off. He said, mark where it fell. When we are coming back, we'll look for it. We can't wait now because the matter of the kingdom requires urgency. Nobody was there. Nobody talked about those days. The days when Reverend George was riding his own scooter too in Ilorin on the hot, cold, tarred road of Ilorin, and he was dreaming the day that God would give him a Mercedes Benz. And he was going for administration. And he didn't know he was not yet in the Benz because faith makes you live in the now. Now faith. You see your future, you bring it to now. He mistakenly turned the steering, that long thing, the rod, of his scooter, like a Mercedes-Benz steering. And the next thing he knew, he fell on the road. Bah! As he he fell on the road with his bum bum, he said the scripture popped out of his mouth. If you know Reverend George Adegboye, you know he's a walking Bible. He's one of my teachers. He said the scripture that came out of his mouth was, surely there's an end, and the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. Several years later, he went to Mercedes-Benz in the U.S. to get a customized SUV. They measured his arms, his legs, everything. He chose the color of the seat belt, the color of the interior. I mean, when you have money, you can do such things. He said he left Mercedes-Benz, he went to Honda. He did the same thing. Now, people see that and begin to criticize your glory, but they don't know your story. They don't know that behind every glory, there's a story. I'm saying this in advance because they will also criticize PFE in the name of Jesus. I signed up that I will never live a life that will be pitied by anybody. None of you will ever have the chance to pity me. The chance you will have is to celebrate with me. And the chance I will have is to celebrate with you. We are not set up for a pitiful, pitiable life. Ah, oh my shoe, and the man is really serving God. Oh, look at his shoes. Ah, he's a revivalist. And his shoes have become shoes. We're not talking materialism, but does God want us to live a good life? And somebody who is not schooled, who didn't even finish his degree in university, who became an OAP, will get a phone and start yapping someone who is a pro-chancellor, the owner of 1, 2, 3 universities. I mean, guys, please stop wasting your data following certain trends and threads and stories on social media. There is a generation that curses their father and they don't bless their mother. Go to the next verse for me. Proverbs 30. I'm talking about true worship this morning. So I've not lost my train of thought. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and it's this generation, very pure in their own eyes. They know more than their pastors. They know more than any of the fathers. My wife was showing me a clip of a particular controversial pastor now, especially one of those people leading them that nobody should tithe in his old covenant, blah, blah, blah. Somebody was engaging him. And the guy engaging him now said, okay, now what about almsgiving, you know, giving to God and prayers? And then he cited the example of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And this man had the guts to say, no, actually the real epistles is from Romans to Jude. I'm telling you, I saw this live. I can drop the name of the man, but I don't need it. So the man said, are you now telling us that those things in the Acts of the Apostles? He said, no, doctrine cannot be built on those things in the Acts of the Apostles. Because it was Luke that wrote the Acts of the Apostles. That is true. But there is nothing more dangerous than half-truth. It was Luke that wrote it. But the Bible makes it clear to us that holy men were moved and they wrote down the scriptures. That every scripture is given by the inspiration of who? Whether it is Genesis, Malachi, Revelation, it's your problem to say one is old covenant, one is new. The same scammers who are teaching, they teach giving, they don't teach tithing. In their churches, they make you give more. You part with 50% of your income. They criticize 10%, but they are collecting 50% from the people. These same people claim the blessing of Psalm 91. But they say it's old covenant. So the man said to him, are you asking us to ignore what the Bible says in Acts 10? When the angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius and said to him that your prayers and your alms have come up to God for a memorial, he said, ignore it. He said, we can ignore it. I'm warning you, people. Some of you are not listening to me. I'm warning you. And God knows I'm warning you. And you know I'm warning you. I won't drop names, though. But these are some of the people that are polluting the body. The Lord, when I was bothered about such things, the Lord said, "Will you leave the tear and the wheat to grow together until harvest? Did you harvest, la mamo? I want to learn nobody to say from church to you know. How can you say it is you people that told us that new covenant, New Testament started from Acts? They said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are old covenant because Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. Okay, we understand. Now, they said that new covenant starts from Acts of the Apostles. Now you are telling us to ignore Acts. Someday you will come back and tell us, we should even ignore Romans, that the actual eschatology should start from 1 Corinthians. Listen to me, church. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is so simple, it will take an expert. It will take an expert to confuse you. Holy word handed down to us from generation to generation, producing results, transforming lives. Now they are trying to rewrite it. Very soon they will rewrite their own Bible. They are the ones who tell you that there's one command somewhere that you should not be there. You are students, listen very carefully. When you meet anybody on campus telling you the command in one part of the Bible is not supposed to be there, it's supposed to be after another one, please walk away from them. Don't argue with them. Don't argue. Don't try to argue. Walk away. You are entitled to your own opinion. They're entitled to their own opinion. When you came to this life, you didn't come with them. You came alone. Are you with me? Let me tell you one of the offshoots, and this is how it relates to worship. One of the offshoots of those teachings is that they are very rude. Some of your friends who embrace the hyper grace gospel, watch their lives. They are rude to pastors. They are rude to their parents, especially if their parents come to a church like this or go to an Orthodox church. The fact that your parents go to an Orthodox church doesn't mean they're going to hell. In fact, in the Orthodox churches, they have more reverence for God and for the things of God. They call the men of God Alufa. And Alufa may be 30, it may be a 32-year-old young man. Your mother, your grandmother will kneel down to greet them. You can't dissuade them from doing such. Because they understand more than we do. We are the Pentecostals. No respect for 100 level tongues. Mango ND tongues. They are the ones that know this, which one is advanced. PhD tongue. Those are the ones that speak. In fact, they don't speak the tongues of men anymore. They now speak the tongues of angels. One man said, now I know the day that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. He said, now I know. One of the people you follow said, now I know. Now I know. Reverend Bemini, my brother, shared that in a minister's conference. I think Paul was with me. He said, now I know. They can describe the bedroom of God. They talk about certain things that are not traceable to the Bible. Things they cannot show you. Anything you are doing in your life that you cannot see in the Bible, drop it. Anything anybody is teaching you, including PFE, that is not in the Bible, drop it. This is our safe guide. Are you with me, church? There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Go to verse 13. There is a generation who, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up, very proud. See, insolence and pride are twins. Insolence and pride. Insolence and pride. In fact, the reason you are insolent is because you are proud. You feel superior to certain people. They don't belong to your class. No, they don't. So why are you greeting me good morning? Morning. Excuse me. Have you greeted someone before? Good morning. Morning. And they don't even stop. And some bring that attitude to church. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, such an attitude will not prosper in this church. When we begin to reverence God, we will begin to also reverence one another. And that's a place where God is comfortable dwelling in. Are you getting what I'm saying? As the glory is on the outside of God, honor is on the inside of God. Honor is on the inside. If you touch it, you touch God, you will cry. That's why sometimes when you are able, maybe in the place of prayer, you pray in the spirit to a point when you are able to now break down in worship and you are just honoring God. At some point, you don't have words anymore. You have a heart beating. And it is better in the place of prayer to have a heart and not have words than to have words without a heart. You get to that point, you can't talk anymore. You're just crying, and you can't explain why you are crying. 30 minutes, you're still crying. You're touching the honor of God. What a beautiful place. You don't want to ever come out of it. Anybody knows what I'm talking about this morning? Jesus taught them to pray. Matthew 6:9. He said, this is the manner with which you pray. Matthew 6:9. This is how to pray. Our Father, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, honored
be thy name.
That hallowed is honored. You don't see that word anywhere else used for any man in the Bible. It's only used for God. Hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You hallow his name in your heart. You want to do something wrong, but you remember it's against God's word, and you hallow him in your heart. Say, no, I'm not going to do it. Why are you not going to do it? It's going to bring a lot of profit. No, it doesn't honor God. It doesn't honor God. This is the protocol of heaven to come to the place of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. The next thing is to say, hallowed. Hallowed be your name. We live in a very irreverent world. We live in a very rude world. And I'll tell you why this world is very rude. Because Satan is the one in charge of the world. Not God. Satan. You heard me? Satan. Satan is the one ruling the world. He's the one in charge of the world. Because God gave the authority to Adam. Adam stupidly gave it to Satan. And Satan is a bad master. Pastor Fred, what are you talking about? Go to Isaiah 14. Let me show you how Satan was rude to God. Isaiah 14 from verse 9. We're going to read very quickly. Please, quickly. Got a few minutes to go. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. That's talking about Satan. Say, hell. Hell is moved for you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All right? Verse 10. All they shall speak and say unto you, and thou also become, they will say to Satan. So Lucifer, who became Satan, who became the devil, he was Lucifer before. Are you also become weak as we? Have you become weak as we? He said, men in hell, we tell Satan, when they see him, finally. Have you also become as weak as we? You have also become like unto us. You are Satanic. Next verse. Thy pomp, your pride, everything pride, prideful, proud is connected to Satan. Don't you ever in your life say again, I will make God proud. God will never be proud. Oh, pastor, is English? Nada. Words are made for creation, first of all, before communication. God will never. Oh, my prayer, Lord, let me make you proud. I just want to make you proud. God will never have anything to do with Satan. Satan is the originator of pride. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Anywhere God sees pride in the life of anybody, we resist that person. May God not resist you. Satan is the resister. The meaning of Satan means the resister. So normally, as a child of God, you want to make progress in your life, naturally Satan will resist you. That's why we pray, all right? That's why we stand on the word of God. That's why we use the blood of Jesus to move forward. But if God is not the one resisting you, my sister, you are resisted. The only way out is to humble yourself. He said, I talk to people a lot. When you're in problems and you're abusing God, can God see? Can't he see? Can't he see? Can't he, doesn't he know? I'm now 48. Whoa, I told the lady. When I said whoa, she finished the sentence. She knew what I was going to say. She knew it by the spirit. She said, Koti, do you answer? Money, yes. The problem never reached there. When it reached there, you go prostrate, you go lie down. You'll be asking God for one thing, mercy. A lady once said to me in my office, out of frustration, can God see? I'm not yet married. Is he blind? Can't he see? I said, who? He said, God. I said, you can't even say that to me. I will tell my wife about the lady after the service. In fact, we need to do something about it this week. She's not in this church, in this auditorium, but she's a member of the church. How dare you? Can you see dishonor? Can you see why people are cut short? This same person is probably fasting now. Probably praying now. Probably singing in the choir now. And you call that person a worshiper, and God is looking at a very disrespectful, saucy, proud, insolent, indolent person. Thy pomp is brought low, your gra-gra is brought down to the grave, and the noise of your vials, violin, say, Lucifer got musical instruments built into him. Parana had to buy his trumpet. Lucifer didn't have to go to any shop. It was built into him. David had to buy his violin. Lucifer didn't have to buy. Nobody had to teach him violin lessons. All he did was, and then it was violin. It was keyboard. Harp. Drum set. Goose. Trumpet. Everything built into him. And the guy was handsome. He was a beautiful guy. He was made with precious stones. You know, sometimes when you are so too beautiful, is a problem. Start walking around like a peacock. Like you don't go to the toilet. You do, baby. You do. Like the rest of us. So calm down. Let me tell you, everybody, say calm down, calm down. You know, as a guy, sometimes it gets into your head. When you have some flesh and some money, you have some cool money somewhere, and you have nice designer shoes and fine clothes, and you have everything, you have a nice car to drive, AC pumping. Yeah, Alpha. Alpha, Pastor. What's up? Yeah, because now we run this town. God will not tolerate it. Are you with me? I want to teach you something. We're on a journey. That's why I titled this, A Journey into Worship. A Journey into True Worship. We're on a journey. All right? I'm going to stop soon. But are you getting blessed? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows now, the violin that used to make sweet melody, the Bible now describes it as noise. Ah, may your music not turn to noise. May your prayer not turn to an abomination before God. The Bible says that the prayer of the wicked is an abomination before God. Some people go to prayer mountain, Rakata, Yaba, Yele. God said, Gabriel, who is that noisemaker? Who is that idiot? And he has fasted 53 days. Because he's wicked. The prayer of the wicked. So the good people pray, the wicked people pray. God only knows the difference. They said, one will ascend as a sweet-smelling savour. Oh, the vial in Revelation. That vial is full of sweet odor, which is the prayer of the saints. They will ascend to God. But there's another prayer coming from the wicked people. God says it's an abomination. Do you know an abomination? It's like when you vomit. Can you go back to your vomit and say, no, I went to Captain Cook. I know how much I spent at Captain Cook to buy that food. I now vomited it. I will eat it again. Abomination. If you want to eat it, they will hold you. Don't eat it. He said, no, she means my vomit. I will eat it. Abomination. Abomination. He said, the noise of your vials, violin, the worm is spread under you, and the worms cover you. Next verse. How art thou fallen from heaven? This guy was in heaven with our father. Our father was in heaven. Lucifer was in heaven. But how art the mighty fallen? How art thou fallen from heaven? Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning. Handsome guy, beautiful. Nollywood is making nonsense. Describing Satan like he's in black and red and has a horn on his head. There is a description in Revelation, yeah? But the real guy is a cool dude. Smells good, speaks good English, got money, he's got steez. You guys call it steez now. Satan has got it. Hey, what's up, baby? How y'all doing? Saw one American movie years ago. I can't remember. It was a Christian film. The husband was a struggling guy, was a mechanic. The wife was rising on corporate ladder. Corporate America. And there was this guy in the office, always in his suit, tie well knotted, smells nice, earns six digits, drives a classic car. Not the guy whose hands are soiled with engine oil. The woman began to have problems because that guy was wooing her. He was the boss. Just take you out to an exclusive restaurant. Let's get high. Let's just hang out. Like somebody takes you to Shandy's. But the real brother says, I can only afford Mama Pooch at Yemetu. And you don't want to go there. Because Shandy's is nice. Came back from work one night. The husband wanted to touch her just to embrace her. And she looked at his hands. They were too rough. Rough to touch my tender skin. Now you know your skin is tender. Now you know the hands are rough. Same hands that fed you when you had no job. You forget.
Satan.
For God, he was the son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? He did weaken the nations. Next verse. For thou hast said in thine heart, see his error. He said where? I told you true worship is always an issue of what? And when you are going to go into error, it's always from the what? Some people come to church, but their hearts have departed from the Lord. Some people are preaching, but their hearts have departed from the Lord. One prayer we all must pray consistently is to say, Lord, let me remain glued to you. Revive my heart. Nobody knows when I'm backsliding. I look good. Everybody looks good in church. We all look good, but nobody knows who is struggling right now. Nobody knows who has been tempted by some boyfriend, and you have a crazy financial commitment at home. I mean, it's crazy, and there's no way to get money except God. Right now, looks like the need. Everybody's cool, church, but nobody knows what everybody's going through. That's why we need one another as a church. That's why we must pray for one another. In your closet, pray for the expression house. Pray for your pastor. Pray for other sisters and brothers. Don't be too selfish with your prayer. Lord, bless me and my household, my dog, and everybody. Bless the car. Lord, bless the road we drive on. Don't be selfish. Let's uphold one another in love, in prayer, in true worship, because God is looking at our heart. He said in his heart. What did he say in his heart? He didn't get the chance to say it with his mouth. He said in his heart, I will. Look at the word after I. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? Will. 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 That will thing is a major problem. As I'm talking to you now, some people have made up their will. After service, they have a hangout with somebody in the evening, and they're going to have sex. Most likely, it's going to lead to sex. They don't know yet. They're not sure, but it's most likely going to. And they're still going to go to it, to that person. That's entering temptation with your eyes wide open, like Samson. Somebody tempted you the first time. You lied to her. She wanted to get the secret of your power. You found out. Were you not supposed to have common sense? Second time, third time. I will. What do you have after I will? Ascend into heaven. He was going to go to where the most holy, most high stays. He knows the estate of God. What a privilege. What a privilege many have lost because of pride. See finish, that's what it's called. Because he described in his heart where the throne of God is. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, because he knew where the stars of God were. I will sit also like God upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Biti Baba Mingbe, where our father lives. I'm going to dethrone him. I will. You see, will. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Finally, he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. Most High means El Elyon. So we're going to have two El Elyons. God said, no, you lie. No! Was what he heard from the glory above. You lie! You go down! Next verse. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Satan, that's where you are going in the name of Jesus. When Satan reminds you of your past, you aborted the baby, yeah, you did. But did you ask God for forgiveness? Yes, you did. And Satan is bringing that up in your presence and saying, you can't lift up holy hands before God because you aborted 2 years ago. Tell him, thank you for bringing my past. My past is under the blood of Jesus. And hey, don't go yet. Let me remind you of your future. You are going to hell. He will run away from you. He doesn't like to be reminded of his future because that's his future. You shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Not even the full pit. They will give him side. Egbe. Sides of the pit. Yeah? They that see thee shall narrowly look up and say, what would they say? And consider this saying, is this the man? Say what is the man?
You want the man, no, the man, no.
Is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms? Are you the abido shaker? He said they will look at him. Is this the man? Luckily, some people will slap Satan. It was you that led me. There will be WrestleMania in hell. The Bible didn't say they will fear him. You see, they will narrowly look upon him and say, is this the man? Look at him like that now. Stop obeying his promptings. When he tells you, don't forgive that person, keep malice. Tell him you are stupid. You say, what the man? You are a small man. Yeah? Get out of here. Go and meet the person. Tell them what they've done. Forgive them. Hug them. Kiss them. I mean, on the cheek. I love you, my sister. Are you with me, church? Let me now begin to stop. I wish we could go further. That made the world as a wilderness. She won't need the mind. That made the world. He wasted many lives in Somalia. He wasted many lives in Rwanda. You know the war there? Many countries in Africa, lives wasted because of lack of sense. And it was Satan. He will enter into one tribe and say, you are the superior. Don't let the Tutsi say that they are superior to you. You are superior to them. It will go to the other people. Don't let the Tahutu think that they are superior to you. You are the superior. Then one man will come out from this tribe. One man from this tribe. Why are you looking at us like that? Why are you also looking at us like that? Shebi, you are looking. You too, you are looking. We are superior. No, who are you? And then they start fighting. Then war will break out. They kill people. They kill one another. There was war in Ifia Modakeke many years ago. They killed people. They burnt banks. They burnt down organizations. Their youth that had jobs became jobless. Some died. Women became widows. Some children became orphans. Why? This is Ife. This is Modakeke. They have already intermarried. It was this man that caused it. He made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof that opened not the house of his prisoners. This is one thing I know about him. When Satan puts anyone in prison, he doesn't open the prison. He will throw away the keys. That's why when God showed up, he spoke through Isaiah, shall the lawful captive be delivered? Shall the prey of the terrible be set free? Yes, he will be. And when Jesus came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Luke chapter 4. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel. One of the things he has come to do is to open the prison doors. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, say glory to God. Jesus stepped upon the scene. It changed the narratives. Nobody should remain in any bondage anymore. If you are sick in your body this morning, receive healing in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus. Regardless of what the sickness is, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. If it's in your mind, receive your freedom in the name of Jesus. If it's a torment, a thought just tormenting your mind, that torment stops right now in the name of Jesus. This guy here is the embodiment of irreverence, rudeness. He's the rude boy. Satan is the real rude boy. And unfortunately, he's the God of this world. I stop there. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4. And from next week, I will begin to tell you, what does true worship actually entail. You want to know what true worship entails? Oh, one person want to know? You need to come to church next Sunday to know, because you want to be a true worshiper. Nobody wants to waste their lives. You don't want to waste your time on earth. If you're not a true worshiper, you have just come to waste your time. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Why? In whom the God, can you see small letter G? Can you see small letter G? The God of this world. Who do you think that small letter G is? Is that the Almighty God? That's Satan. Is described as the God of this world. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Unbelievers are blind in their hearts. They think they can see. I want Soji, but want Soji. They are blind in their hearts. He has blinded their minds. Why? Lest, that is so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ will not shine into them. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you have a family member, therefore, who needs Christ, who needs to be saved, stop saying, Lord, save my uncle, Uncle Felix. Save Uncle Felix. No. What you do is, Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand in my place of authority. I remove the veil that Satan has cast over the mind of Uncle Felix. I destroy it, and I command the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine into him. And Lord, I ask that you release men and women that will surround him with the gospel. They will preach to him. I've seen people saved like that. Some of my cousins, I prayed for them like that. You can pray for your dad. We've had people in this church who prayed for their dad, and they got saved. We had a sister then who said, her dad never went to church. He didn't like anything church. We have people even right now. The lady that shared a testimony last Sunday, she will come and share again, maybe at the end of the month, who said her dad is a herbalist. Of course, I know the story because she told me. Last Sunday after service, after sharing her testimony, she came to me and said, Pastor, I didn't share the whole thing. I said, why didn't you share? She said, do you know now that my dad asks me if I've gone to church? She said, first of all, my dad asks, what kind of church are you going to? I hope it's not the white garment church. Because the dad is a herbalist. He knows, you know, all the stuff they do. And she said, the stone church. Stone church, okay. They preach Christ there. They preach good. Say, yeah. Then the dad is now following up on her. Did you go to church today? The same dad who is a herbalist. And I said to her, I said, you know, even your dad is going to preach the gospel. Amen. We won't stop at the father allowing you to come to church. We will get his own soul too. Amen. And yeah, salvation will visit our families in the name of Jesus. 1 John 4:4. The Bible says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, there is a he that is in the world. Look at the last line of that scripture. There is a he that is in the world. His name is Satan. Are you with me, church? But there is another he on the inside of you. His name is Jesus. Amen. So who is greater? The one on your inside is greater than the one that is in the world. Now, what does true worship entail? This is where I'm going to start next week. I want to teach you about honor. True worship must come from a heart that honors God. What does it mean to honor God? This subject, this teaching, will liberate many people. It will, stand on your feet, everybody, because I'm done. It will help many of us to overcome our impasse in the place of prayer. It will help you to overcome the flesh. Rising today, falling tomorrow, when you get to the place of honoring God, you will not need Pastor Fred to drive anything down your neck. Why are you living like that? No, Pastor Fred won't need to shout. You will, by yourself, with the help of the Holy Spirit, be making sound decisions. I won't tell you what to wear, what not to wear. Oh, that slit is too long. It's showing everything. No. I won't need to sweat about that. You will know for yourself that this doesn't portray who I am. And this doesn't honor God. There are places you will stop going Because the honor of God does not dwell there. David said, take me to the place where your honor dwells. Honor, listen, church, is a big deal with God. Honor is a big deal with God. Honor is a big deal with God. This is the generation where pastors wear ripped jeans and it doesn't matter. God doesn't care. Pastor Fred, they're Gen Z pastors and they're ministering to Gen Zs. God doesn't care. Americans say God don't care. But he used to. I want you to go home with this thinking. God used to care about what his ministers wore. God used to care. In English, when you say somebody used to do something, it means they don't do it anymore. So I'm very deliberate with my words. God used to care. Exodus 28 and verse 2, God said to Moses to make garments for the priest Aaron, high priest Aaron, for beauty and for honor. KJV says for glory and beauty. If you go to the Amplified Classic, it's for beauty and for honor. And you shall make for Aaron your brother sacred garments, appointed official dress set apart for special holy services, for honor and for beauty. We have special holy services there twice a week, Sunday and Thursday. Does God care what whoever he's preaching or ministering in music or doing anything here wears? Does God care? Oh, God used to care. That was Old Testament. When did he change? You tell me. I said God used to care. So you need to answer me this morning. When did God change? In Malachi 3:6, he said, I'm the Lord and I change not. That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. But today, if you don't dress like some pastors, they say you are not trendy. You have to wear jeans with holes, crazy jeans. There is no way you dress like that, that you will not distract the people. We are looking at your thigh, your naked thigh. We are not hearing the gospel you are preaching. We are not hearing the song you are leading. As I said some years ago, I think 2-3 years ago to the choir, I said, nobody wears ripped jeans here. You can wear it on your campus if you like, but not here on this stage. And I'm saying it again. See the way you are dressed this morning. Aren't you looking beautiful? For glory and for honor. Look at the ushers. Aren't they looking beautiful? Nobody exposing anything? If you are ministers of God, there is a prescription. As a lawyer, do you go to court anyhow? Just dress whatever you like. Just the slits. They're looking at your cleavage. Some churches, when some people, God, please. God, please. God, please. Because we are going to be embarrassed. We are going to be embarrassed. I heard the wife of said, God bless this woman. Pastor Ifeanyi. Beautiful woman. Head to toe. She would dress up to the neck. Married if they are not getting married already. What else is she looking for? Husband, handsome. They are rich. They have a big church. Powerful. And she was telling the ladies on the aisle. Some of you wear, what you wear is three. When we come to church, we are not. We don't come to watch pornography. So ladies, listen very carefully. And then guys, be very careful. To the ladies. You're always chasing ladies, chasing ladies, chasing ladies, chasing them. You are the apostle to the ladies. Children. Be very careful. Let me be your mentor. Mentor, have you mentored yourself? I know what I'm talking about. I've had very terrible cases that we shall be addressing later. Be very careful. Be very careful. Caring. Hyper grace has taught you, has misled you. You can live anyhow. God's grace covering. go cover nada. He that breaks the edge, the serpent shall bite. Don't break the edge. And we should fear God. We should respect God. Before you touch God's daughter, even though the girl is just born again last week, now she's still trying to find her feet. Don't lead her to sin. Don't take her back to where she's coming from. And you use scripture to cover it. And because they don't know scripture, they believe you. You'll be kissing them somewhere behind the scene. This is the house of God. If I don't tell you this truth, who will tell you? So I want you to know, those guys that are involved in that, you are exposed already. Your case is on my table. And I will be sending for you in due course. Let us honor God, please. Let's even treat this house like God is here. Let's even live our lives like God is watching. Nobody follows you to India. Nobody follows you to whatever. Wherever you live, nobody follows you when you even travel. But God is watching. Hebrews 12:1 says we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's a cloud of witnesses that have gone ahead of us. Saints who have gone into the glory beyond. They are looking at us. They are looking. They are looking. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let's run with patience the race that is set before us. I don't want anybody to be laughing now. It's a very, very serious matter. I learned that even in church, some people, they are almost kissing each other in church, in the service. They will hold hands in church because you're in a relation, you're in a situationship. Yes. Emma Fidaoba, Emma for work by Daoba Lojo. If you want to do nonsense, go and do your nonsense in your school or somewhere else. Not inside this church. Not on this premises. This is holy ground. See why many are not worshippers. They are just singers. They are just actors. Can we treat God like God is in this house? That's when you will get the full benefit of belonging here. That's when you will come in with headache and go to a corner. No service. You talk to God 1 hour. By the time you are getting out, you are completely healed. I stood before God 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. this morning. A particular situation I was not even praying about. I discovered this morning when I woke up. I managed to go to bed. And my wife woke me up at 5:30. 2.5 hours sleep. I discovered that thing was gone. Something I didn't even pray about. Can we honor God with our lives? Can we treat the house of God like the house of God? Can we treat the things of God like the things of God? Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Those of you in relationships, please behave yourselves. Behave yourselves. Behave yourselves. Lord, have mercy upon us. As we approach the table of the Lord, as we close this service this morning, Lord, what we are asking for is mercy. From the pulpit to the pew, mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. In wrath, Lord, remember mercy. Revive us in the middle of the year. We're in the middle of the year now, Lord. Please revive us again. Our ears have heard of the wonders of old you did in the time of our fathers. Repeat them in our day, O God. In our time, repeat them. Revive us. And in your wrath, O God, in the middle of this irreverent world, immoral, disrespectful generation. Lord, remember mercy. I said, Lord, remember mercy. I said, Lord, remember mercy. Where we have been disrespectful even to our parents, Lord, remember mercy. Where we have disrespected our spiritual leaders, Lord, have mercy. Where we have disrespected the government and all those you put in authority over us, Lord, have mercy. Where we have dishonored you, some people lie and they lie in the name of the Lord. Lord, where we have dishonored you, where we have dishonored your name, please remember mercy in the name of Jesus. As we partake of your body and your blood this morning, mercy, mercy is what we cry out for. Lord, let mercy be released. The word tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy. Find grace to help in the hour of need. This is the time of need. This is the hour of need. We receive, we obtain mercy, and we find grace to help. In the name of Jesus. 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 Amen. Please go and serve. Thank you. If you are not born again, please don't take it. I'm sorry, choir. Can't have the worship medley today. Time is up. I took extra time. After this, you've shared the grace now. We go to the ICC. I've seen some people walking. Usually they'll give about 5 minutes of break. That's why some want to go to the car. But we have no break. We leave here. We go to the ICC for prayer. Okay, please make sure you make that prayer before you go home. So you are students, somebody should tell the driver what is happening so they can wait. Amen. Please receive the communion. Thank you, Lord. Is Ayomide in church this morning? Ayomide, the physiotherapist, is a guy. Is he in church? Okay, he's not in church. I would want Paul, please take the communion. You will go with me to the hospital. We'll administer it to her after the prayer. And then Botolua. Where's Botolua? Your dad is still in the hospital. So take communion. We will also visit your dad today. Okay? So two communion sets. Hallelujah. Let's just share the grace. My time is up. I can't do anything further. You can put the account details of the church on the screen for those who want to transfer their tithe. Let's share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the precious Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Before I decree the blessing, I know we have meetings. Those of you in School of Nursing, University of Ibadan, and Poly Ibadan, your meeting will hold after the prayer. So what we are doing now is to go to the ICC. Join them for prayer. After the prayer, come back, have your meeting, and then you can go home from there. Okay? Tomorrow, Monday, 3 p.m., prayer still holds. 3 to 5 for those who want to come and pray. And after that, we'll join the adult church at 5:15. So prayer every day is 5:15 to 6:30. 5:15 to 6:30. And don't forget on Wednesday to come. It's very important that we all pray together. All right, you can transfer your tithe and offering to the church. Oh, is this our account now? Or is this for Zacchaeus? Oh, it's for Zacchaeus. Okay, we're still using Zacchaeus' account. We're just praying and hoping that God will help Stanbic IBTC. I don't know why it's taking so long to reactivate an old account. We're still in the process. And if you know anyone there that is in top management that you can talk to, please see Brother Zacchaeus and let us get it done. All right, let's lift our hand for the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I am blessing you in the name of the Lord. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord grant you his peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking in your life. Now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. God bless you. Let's go to the ICC for prayer, please. We'll do same next Sunday. God bless you.